Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Leviathan is Thomas Hobbes's landmark work of political philosophy. First published in 1651 and still treated as a foundational text in discussions of sovereignty, social contract theory, and the origins of modern state power. Written in the shadow of the English Civil War and broader 17th century European conflict, the book asks why human beings create political authority and what conditions make civil order possible. Hobbes does not begin with ideal citizenship or moral harmony. Instead, he starts from fear, competition, and distrust, arguing that without a common power to hold society together, people fall into conflict and insecurity. The result is a rigorous defense of a strong sovereign state as the best answer to disorder. Penguin Classics presents the work in a form that preserves its historical character, while making one of the most influential arguments in Western political thought accessible to modern readers. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Hobbes starts from a bleak theory of human nature. A central feature of Leviathan is Hobbes's claim that political theory must begin with a realistic account of human behavior. He describes people as roughly equal in their vulnerability and in their ability to threaten one another, which means no one can rely on natural superiority to secure peace. From this equality comes competition, diffidence, and the pursuit of glory, all of which make conflict likely. His famous State of Nature is not a historical report, but a philosophical model showing what happens when there is no common authority. In that condition, each person must anticipate violence from others, so even ordinary life becomes insecure. Hobbes's point is not simply that people are bad, but that fear and self-preservation are enough to generate social breakdown when no enforceable order exists. This makes his political philosophy distinctive. It is built less on ideals of virtue than on the management of danger and uncertainty. Secondly, the social contract is a bargain to escape civil war. Hobbes argues that the only rational way out of the state of nature is for individuals to make a covenant with one another and authorize a common sovereign. The social contract is not based on mutual affection or moral perfection. It is a practical agreement to transfer or surrender private judgment in exchange for security. This is the core mechanism of Leviathan people: consent to be governed, because the alternative is worse than obedience. That logic makes the contract deeply modern, since political legitimacy comes from human agreement rather than divine right or inherited sacred authority. Hobbes also makes clear that the covenant must be collective, not a temporary alliance against a single enemy. It creates a unified political body capable of acting with one will. The strength of this idea is its clarity. Peace requires a structure strong enough to prevent private violence from returning in another form. The limitation is equally important, because consent is used to justify very concentrated power. Thirdly, the Leviathan is a sovereign powerful enough to enforce peace. The title figure, Leviathan, represents the sovereign state that Hobbes believes is necessary to keep society from collapsing back into conflict. He treats sovereignty as indivisible and commanding, because divided authority invites rivalry and weakens enforcement. In his view, laws are only effective when backed by coercive power, since agreements by themselves do not restrain human behavior. This is why Hobbes famously insists that covenants without the sword are only words. The sovereign therefore has to control law, punishment, and public order in a decisive way. Whether the sovereign is a monarch or an assembly matters less than whether it can act with final authority. Hobbes's state is not valued because it is morally flawless, but because it can stop mutual destruction. That makes Leviathan a theory of political order grounded in security first. It also helps explain why the book has been so influential in later debates about the modern state, authority, and the acceptable limits of government power. Fourthly, natural law in Hobbes is rational, not moralistic. Leviathan does not reject reason. It uses reason to identify laws of nature that guide people towards self-preservation and peace. Hobbes defines these natural laws as rational conclusions about what is necessary to avoid destruction. The first law urges people to seek peace when it is possible, while the second supports willingness to give up some rights when others do the same. The third and related laws emphasize keeping covenants, because promises are the basis of social life. Once trust has to be stabilized by contract. These laws are not sentimental ideals. They are practical rules derived from the requirements of survival in a dangerous world. That approach is important because it links morality to political order without relying on traditional religious authority. Hobbes tries to show that justice emerges from enforceable agreement rather than from innate harmony. At the same time, his framework raises difficult questions, since a system built on rational self-interest can justify obedience even when power becomes harsh or intrusive. Lastly, religion, authority, and the struggle to define public order. Leviathan is not only about politics in a narrow sense, it also engages religion, interpretation, and the authority to define public truth. Hobbes wrote during a period of intense religious and civil conflict, and his analysis reflects concern that competing claims about divine authority can destabilize the Commonwealth. By subordinating ecclesiastical power to civil sovereignty, he tries to reduce the political danger of rival religious institutions. This part of the book helps explain why Leviathan was controversial. It challenged inherited assumptions about church power, sacred legitimacy, and the independence of moral authority from the state. Hobbes's broader argument is that public peace depends on settling who has the right to speak with final authority. The book, therefore, becomes a study not just of government, but of the institutions that shape collective obedience. Its long-lasting importance lies in showing that modern politics involves controlling conflict over law, religion, and interpretation, not simply choosing leaders. That is why it remains central to political philosophy and to debates over state legitimacy. In conclusion, Leviathan should be read by students of political philosophy, history, law, theology, and anyone trying to understand the intellectual foundations of the modern state. It is especially valuable for readers interested in social contract theory, sovereign authority, and the relationship between fear and political order. The book rewards careful reading because Hobbes does not merely defend strong government. He constructs a systematic explanation of why people accept authority at all. That makes it useful both as a historical document and as a live argument in debates about security, liberty, legitimacy, and institutional power. Compared with many other classics of political theory, Leviathan stands out for its directness and architectural logic. Hobbes builds his case from first principles, moving from human nature to conflict, from conflict to contract, and from contract to sovereignty. The Penguin Classics edition is especially suitable for readers who want an authoritative text that preserves the force of the original while remaining accessible. Few books in the genre combine philosophical ambition, political realism, and lasting controversy as effectively as Leviathan. If you would like to support Thomas Hobbes, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.